Sometimes I'm better whenever I haven't had enough sleep, and we'll see if that's the case today. It's actually, I did sleep, but I slept in Parker's room, or like I fell asleep on the couch downstairs, and then he woke me up and Eric had a meeting that went really late. So this will be fun.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to decide to get it together. Just delete all that and act like this is normal.
Do y'all get nervous doing this?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, now I will. I was calm. I was too calm. Now I'm not too calm.
I get nervous doing everything.
I've said it on this podcast too many times.
What?
I won't say it again. That nervous just means that you're about to do something that you care about.
Yeah.
And that's a good feeling.
I just want to stop caring, though.
Oh. You don't want to care about this being here right now?
I just care too much about all of it.
Yeah. Ugh. First of all, you can't say that too many times. I listen to so many things and I feel like the people that are the best at, I don't know, this or radio or whatever, they just say the same things over and over and they don't apologize for it. So don't apologize for it.
Okay.
And, I don't know. I think Carrie, what if I just was like all of a sudden really good at this? Got one cup of coffee, just did it.
You guys are really good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
I want to know how to do the thing where you like move your head like away at the right moment to make things
technique.
Not. Yeah. Is that? That and maybe like media training. I don't know what for, but I just would like that. That feels like that would make me more comfortable.
I wonder if it would help with rhythm.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, therapy's not really helping with that, I don't feel like, with the cadence of the speaking.
Well, you already have that.
The staccato is what I've been mentioning. When I get freaked out.
Yeah, I get to edit her, which is always a treat.
Because of long pauses?
Lots of things. And then I'll just like completely forget what I was talking about and then meander onto something else. And then, what was I saying? And then this, and then it goes this way. And
that's me. Sometimes I look like I just died for a second. So if there's a long pause, it's just me really trying to collect it all and get it back into a lane. Okay?
Well, you look really good while you do that. I do a lot of eye stuff that just makes me seem like I'm just not okay.
Sarah just does the giving up. She'll start a sentence and she'll be like, just cut this whole thing. I don't know.
I do it too because I'm like, I don't want to hear myself say this, so you're not going to want to hear myself say this, so I'm going to just stop in the middle of that story and let's just move on.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, usually I want to hear myself say it, but I'm so uncomfortable with the idea that you might not want to hear it. Then I just stop. Same.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you feel like you
put
too much weight to every, like, is that a running thing for you for everything? You're like, I put too much weight to all of it.
I could sprout tears, just that.
Yeah.
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 Everything. The pressure.
Yeah. I feel that. Mm-hmm. I also just heard someone say, and it came at a good time for me to hear it. And obviously this is on a spectrum of some sort of balance. There can be too much pressure in a negative way. But I heard someone say that pressure is a privilege and that having somebody expect something of you and believe that you can accomplish something, having a goal, whatever. I don't know. I was like, I needed that reminder that sometimes I can be a victim to it constantly.
Yeah.
And it helped me be like, yeah, you're right. I needed to hear that little, like, I don't know.
That is helpful.
Back myself more.
Yeah. I always think about the pressure that I put on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like it necessarily came from a place from my parents when I was young. I mean, I just feel like I was kind of born out of the womb like that. But when I switched the thinking to thinking like having this support system around that cares what you're doing, that's where I can see it being healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a little treat for you guys today.
Yeah.
Yum.
I thought that I wouldn't be able to cry because I was so young. I thought that I wouldn't be able to cry because that coffee makes me really numb, but I probably could. And I think about, this is sad. See, that's one of them. It's just awful. I would not want to listen to this. That's real. But that I think about whenever I get all like bogged down and all this shit. I've said this before, and this is not something people want to hear again. And this is really like punishing yourself, but that then I think about when you get older, mature, and your kid's not at home and how that feels. And then I'm like, you're going to be, you know, mad if you don't
do it.
And I'm grateful for this. Okay.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Do cut that. Yeah. It's awful. It's not fun to listen to.
No, I liked it. Sometimes I will feel myself protecting myself for that future. Like, I'll find myself keeping my kids at arm's length sometimes because I'm protecting myself for when they're gone.
In what way? Like, give an example.
Like, you have walls up?
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I think I...
Walls up?
Yeah, I think sometimes I will not fully let myself feel certain things and be like, I'm just going to, like, be... I'm going to just be chill about this because... and I'm going to focus on my own stuff and the things I'm working on because that way when you're not here and you don't need me anymore, like, I'm going to be totally fine. I'm going to have all this stuff that I've been doing.
And you're able to compartmentalize that and do that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I still... I mean, there's going to be a wave, surely, a huge tidal wave of grief that's just waiting for us all.
That's a good title.
The river of grief. That's something that I talk about all the time. After having a child. I mean, I don't know if it's because I did it so late. So I set up this life of whatever, you know, and I was thinking about it coming in today, though, just like having a kid at midlife, two major things happening at the same time and coming to terms with so many things. And can create this river of grief because you're grieving the life before, but also you're going, what does second half of life look like at the same time navigating a young kid, navigating your career and navigating aging parents as well.
Yeah, so that's all, good.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find like grieving every phase or lately anyway, he's just been just fantastic lately. And I'm feeling that like, I don't... like mom-son thing that people talk, I'm just obsessed with him. And we keep like looking at each other in the eyes and I'm like, I know what you mean, but I'm like, actually Walt would be wise because I'm just way, this is way too important. this is not safe.
No one is safe here, no.
It's awful.
I know what you mean, though, that connection whenever you just are, like, locked in the eye contact and when you're just, like, soul breathing. And that is so scary and so sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean for this to be like this, but let me do your intro. Maybe that'll take us in a different direction.
Let's get the intro over with.
Okay. They're like, after this, it's like an intro, and then there's like a really, like a Downton Abbey, like strings or something, like just awful. Terrible. Just so sad.
We're in here with just scars over our face.
I would never listen to this. Why are you listening to this?
I would.
I know, normal people would. This is what makes me the most nervous, doing this part.
The intro?
Oh. Yeah. Our guest today came into my awareness when I was 22. Always a student of the social strata in Nashville, she seemed to be at some sort of peak that I was not really privy to. And some photos of her were presented as part of a creative deck, and I couldn't believe that she was a local person walking among us. Over the years, our paths crossed again and again, and I learned that she's a warm, lovely, ultra-creative, silly, down-to-earth, deeply funny lady. She's an indie pop artist and songwriter with a long list of serious credits, and why am I going to cry now? What?
Yes.
I don't even see you. I don't even know you.
I barely know you. Ugh. Literally,
this is not okay. and esteemed accolades. Currently, she's writing for a new project of her own and writes for other artists. And she does many creative things. And she's married to fellow beloved local musician K.S. Rhodes. They have one daughter, Ziggy, who is 4. Welcome, Erin McCarley.
Yay!
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love being here. I've missed both of you.
Yes.
I know. I miss your face. I feel like the first time I really got to hang out with you was when we went hiking.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Ian's birthday?
Maybe so. I was going to say Kevin's, but I think it was Ian's.
I think it was Ian's, yeah. And I don't even know why I was invited. Well, I think I just must have... I think I was just out and about at the right time and maybe saw someone like a couple days before. And so it was like, this week we're going to do this thing. Because it's not like I see Ian all the time.
Well, I don't either. Emily West was with us too, right?
It was such a random group of people. But it was so fun. I loved it.
I know. I need to see a picture of this day.
But I feel like you guys had been, we talked for a little bit in the van. You guys had been trying. And had you had one miscarriage by then?
I'm forgetting the name of what it's called whenever it shows up as a pregnancy, but then you go.
Chemical,
yeah.
Okay.
So I had one miscarriage and one chemical, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is there anything you don't want to talk about?
No.
Okay.
Nah, I think she's fine.
I'll say it. If we start talking about it, I'll be like.
She'll just not respond.
She's cool.
She'll just go.
Go cold.
Yeah. Start crying silently.
My skin is a chameleon. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we waited a long time. I think I was 38 when I finally was like, I think maybe we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Still feels very scary. And do we want to give all that up? And, you know.
Yeah. Did you physically start feeling like you were ready, or how did that process work for you?
I think it was just where we were in life. It's funny because we didn't give it the biggest effort.
Right.
We weren't just like...
Right. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. So, but it was really obvious after I had that first miscarriage that I wanted it.
Got it. Mm.
And so then, yeah, we gave it a better effort. And then it took a minute. And I was pregnant at 40.
Mm-hmm.
And induced on my 41st birthday.
I didn't... Was she born on your birthday?
So no, I wish. So I was induced at 10 or 8 p.m., 10 p.m. or something, and she didn't come until 12:20. So on the 8th, January 8th, and then she came 12:22 on the 10th.
Dang, the 10th, a whole nother day?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I was trying to go au naturel and everything, and when I was 2 weeks late
mm-hmm.
from my due date, and so being 40.
And yeah. tiny person.
My doctor was... She was so cool because she knew what I wanted, and she was trying to be patient
facilitate.
With me and facilitate, but also be smart and take care of me.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm not letting you go past 2 weeks late.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up having to have an emergency C-section. So.
Mm. Yeah. Were you, was that hard for you to mm-hmm. come to terms with?
Yeah. I've heard a couple of your podcasts and, you know, I feel like I can't remember the guest's name, but she kind of had a similar thing where she was talking about how she didn't have a set plan. And I was told that over and over again, don't set your eyes on doing, you know, they're going to come however they're going to come. And it's still hard.
Yeah.
You know, I tried not to care. And I also didn't research all the different ways. Just the way that I was thinking that it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I had no idea what a C-section entailed and, you know, what that was going to be. So when I think I never got to the point where I was able to push. I got to like 3 centimeters dilated at most. So then I had to do Pitocin, I had to mm-hmm. do the epidural, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally C-section, so... But that was, I mean, it was a beautiful experience whenever it happened. Intense.
Yeah. I remember watching like the video of the C-section, like when we were like in our class learning all the options.
Oh, yeah.
The C-section option. I was like, oh, yeah. I really don't want to do either of these options.
Yeah. Can can't we figure out a different way to get him out?
So yeah. Brutal.
I know. So I had a Joy Shaw was my doula, and she was so helpful, very calming. Oh gosh, here's one story. This is throwing my husband under the table.
Surely this has to be a Kevin story.
You know, I'm on the yoga ball. I've got my hands on the bed, and just pain. And Joy is just like, you know, coached me through the breathing. So I'm kind of there on my own, like doing the roll. And Kevin comes up behind me. He's hungry. And he kind of whispers, but just softly sings. Hang on, let me get it. That Cars for Kids song commercial that you hear on Lightning 100. KARS, Cars for Kids. Sings that in my ear while I'm literally having a contraction. And I was like, oh God. Get out of here. Go get some lunch.
Wait, how did you know he was hungry? So he'd been complaining that he was hungry prior. Or you just knew?
We must have had some sort of conversation before that contraction. Mm-hmm. And then he just comes walking up.
I think trying to like lighten the mood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, our go-to is always comedy to diffuse.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Not in that
not
moment.
The time.
Nope.
At the car wash. Honk, beep, beep, look at the car wash. Did you know that Sarah and I both work at a car wash? Isn't that exciting? And also so odd. And it's called Camel Express Car Wash, and it's an incredible company, and they're making some changes soon to their
offerings. And our top wash will now include this thing that's called graphene. And this is real. These are real facts, okay, about graphene that I know just an inordinate amount about. It won a Nobel Prize. This material, it's thinner than an atom. It's used for all kinds of crazy things, like insane atom splitting, really smart stuff. But it also is being used in car washes, and it's like a wax coating. And it can adhere to all the surfaces of your cars in a way that like wax has never been able to before. And it's incredibly thin, but also incredibly strong. So it protects and repels water. And also because it's so thin and it like adheres into every single like little surface on the like paint of your car, then this is doing a great job, guys.
I'm
reflects
interested.
Light and it makes your car look like brighter and shinier than like it even does regularly. It's really, it's like really interesting, cool stuff. You can visit Camel Express Car Wash and get a free The Best Wash by texting code MOMCULT to 30400, and you can try that new product, graphene, today.
I'm sorry, I skipped over because I was talking about when we first, our main hang that I remember us having on that hike, and that led me into kid stuff. So I skipped our check-in so we can... How's your week, Aaron?
Oh, goodness. What was it? Oh, so this week has been packing for spring break.
Ah, yes.
And the pressure that I put on myself. Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm a preparer.
The privilege that you put on yourself.
Privilege.
The privilege to pack for my children.
I'd like to see that. You got some like packing cubes. Like, what does that look like?
Oh, my God. I wish. I should. That would help.
What do you... Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have rounds. I mean, I do it when it's just me going on a trip where it's like you get part of your closet and you put in your closet the things that could possibly go with you.
Mm-hmm.
Round one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you start grabbing stuff, putting it over closer to the suitcase,
uh-huh.
You know, where then there's like a pile on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put it in. That's round two. Put it into the suitcase. Put too much stuff into the suitcase. Right. Round three.
Round three.
No, I'm at
round four, taking
and
some
I'm
stuff
editing.
Out.
There's got to be a better way. Help.
I'm bad to pack like really close too, but I do think those packing cubes make all the difference. And like, I don't know.
Why?
Because I could like contain everything into little sections. So I put Parker stuff in one thing and then like pair outfits together or put, is this like the main way I'm organized, I guess? But like shirts or...
But I can do that within the suitcase without the cubes.
Oh.
Are these right? Cubes, they go inside your suitcase? Or this is like to prepare like, to put them in the suitcase?
They're like little, I don't know what they're made of, nylon or something? And they've got like little nets you can see. I mean, they have all different kinds, but then you zip them up. They're just like little ways to section it off.
What are the things called that takes the air out?
Like vacuum bags? You have those?
That's what I need.
Oh. You like to bring preparing, like you like to bring everything? Or do you, are you like,
I don't
you want
like
it
to.
You want it to get it all into a tiny bag or you get any satisfaction?
I love options. I don't know what I'm going to feel like. When I'm there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what if the wind changes and God forbid, cold, you know.
Yeah, your fashion is very important, I think.
How I feel. So if I have to put something on and I don't feel that, then I'm, but it's
going to be a terrible day
friction.
For everybody. Well, yeah.
I wasn't asking you. I was saying your fashion's very important to me. It's good. It's very good. That should have been in your intro. I don't know why I didn't say that.
We're going to Gatlinburg for spring break, and I'm like, do I have to pack for summer and winter? I have no idea.
It's hard when it's a layering situation. If it's just hot or just cold, it's so much easier. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're going to Destin, and it's like,
you can't know.
In the 60s.
A little chilly at night.
Yeah. I know. And then I get there and I wear half and I'm annoyed because of all the extra there, then that creates anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love simplicity, but I'm not simple.
Right.
Mm.
But you want to
envy
be.
It.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of satisfaction about like out of getting everybody's stuff into one bag, but that inevitably makes the bag overweight. Mm-hmm. So that's stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, how was your week?
I already did mine. It was cognitively hormonal and in love and eye contact stuff. I have like a religion thing that I might bring up later, but, you know.
Do that.
It's too early.
Yeah.
Just too early in the episode.
If it felt right.
I love it.
My mom, just the teaser is that my mom was talking to him, or she acted like he asked about Jesus. And I was like she has this cane that allegedly looks like Jesus. And I'm like, that doesn't even look like drawings of Jesus that I've seen that seem like they're not, it's not like an Americanized version of. So I don't think he just went, oh, tell me about Jesus.
She has a cane or he has a cane?
She has a bunch of canes. And
so he just saw the cane and
allegedly
thought Jesus. Yeah.
That's asked about Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got in the car, I said, what? Or she was like, I think she was prepping me because she maybe knew that he would mention it and that we've had some conversations about that and what that looks like for us and how to discuss that. And then I guess I'm not saving it. And then
here we go.
That
buckle up.
Yeah. And we can circle back to this or you don't have to, whatever. I know this is probably dicey for all of us in different ways. But then when I got in the car, I said, hey, I forgot about it for a little bit. And then I was like, not important to the story. Forgot about it for a little bit and then said, oh yeah, what was the thing about Jesus? What did you? And he said, why did those guys kill him? Why'd those bad guys kill him? And I was like, oh, God, okay. Well, and then I handled that. And I said, what else did she tell you? And he said, well, he's the king of God. And I was like, okay. Because we've had conversations about Jesus, just so anybody that is in my family listens to it. But it's like, anyway, I'm trying to have age-appropriate conversations, and that was fun.
I know, to give a succinct answer to those big questions that you're still deconstructing or just, yeah, sometimes I just go, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He also the other day said, how can a person be a boy and a girl at once? And I was like, okay, okay. So, you know.
Yep. And your background in religion is?
I grew up going to Methodist church, but my mom was very open and like essentially what I learned from her and what I still believe is that God is everywhere. Everybody's God is the same God and connected and like I grew up going to a Christian church and you know that, so that resonates with me, but I also don't think it's fair to say that no one else is going to heaven or to experience an afterlife, that, you know, and I don't know that I think everything is all divided up. So I have my own,
you know,
version of that. Yeah. And then I hear people say that that's bad in some ways, and the way that they describe it being bad, then I'm like, well, that does, the way you're saying it does sound bad, but it just feels right in my soul. But I also told, I texted Joy last night and said, and I also still at the same time kind of feel like, well, if this is wrong, like I'm saying to God in my head, like, if this is wrong, like, can you just understand that I was just, like, doing my best?
Oh, I know.
Please don't like strike me with lightning. I just, I'm really trying. And like, if he is your son, like that sounds great. He seems like incredible, perfect person. I understand. And that's, I did say that to Parker. Like I didn't not say that. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that everybody else also can be right. Mm-hmm. And whatever you believe is fine.
Which is hard to describe to a child. And even to other people as well. I know. What did he say?
He said, "This is confusing." He went, "This is confusing, and I feel tired." And I said, "I know. Me too. Let's not talk about this. But
let's
just
table
so you know,
till you're
here's what we know
20.
Is absolutely true for sure." And we can talk about the rest of it later, but whatever you believe is okay. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. What I think I believe. At this stage, if I said the things to Ziggy, she would be the, I like turtles response.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Priorities.
That would be good. He does. Yeah. He's kind of intense. Yeah.
Yeah. Ziggy too.
Yeah.
She wrote a story the other day. She was, I was sitting there with her while she was pooping. Mm-hmm. And she started telling me the story about Harrison Gandhi and just went in, she's four, and just went into this beautiful story about this woman who rode her bike and kept falling off of it. And she was part of the movie of God. And I was like,
oh, what?
The movie of God.
The movie of God. And I was like, what's that movie about? She was like, rainbows and unicorns. And I was like, please. Can it
yes.
be?
I like that.
Can that be it? Yeah.
I'm open to that. So she should start a church, and that sounds like where we want to go.
That's where we want to go.
Great.
We can start it. The Movie of God Church.
That makes me feel better that she was talking about that. Yeah. And they're asking about that. That's not... Oh, I want him to
who
care
is God?
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, who is God? That question was just...
Mm. Mm-hmm. So maybe he did ask, but I don't know. I think she knows she's in trouble, so...
Yeah.
She was trying to cover it up. Anyway, that's all.
Nice. That is interesting, navigating the grandparent, sending them there, what they hear, coming back. Yeah.
Very, 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 very clear about boundaries on all levels, because historically she makes some pretty cavalier, like statements to the nieces or like to the grandkids. Yeah. But
well, you said she was open.
Well, and I left out that she got closed. Later,
she done
and her
sealed
beliefs
up.
became very important to her in a really beautiful way, and a support.
And you don't want to take it away from her,
right? It's her, right?
No, I mean, I will have my honest conversations, and I'll say like, do you remember this? So it's confusing a little bit, but it also like has been really great for her. So whatever,
Joy,
and she's respectful.
You?
Go ahead, yes.
Other than being annoyed at filling out pre-K information online. The thing I was thinking about this week was I went and got coffee by myself on my time off last week and saw a lady out on the porch with a dog. And in my mind, I was like, oh, if I were here with Penny, I'd be talking to that lady because she has a dog. Penny would have said hi to that person. And that, like, it made me obviously enjoy being out without my toddler. But it made me appreciate how much she opens my world when I am out with her, like expands my environment drastically. And I love that about her. And Ava did that too, but there's something about Penny that's just, I mean, she just announces herself when she enters a space and when she leaves, but not in a way that she's wanting the attention, in a way that she's giving the love to everybody. And it's just so, she's just so precious. Oh. Jeremy took her every time we go by Starbucks, she wants a cake pop, but
always
she's been insistent that, because Jeremy will just park and run in and get it. And she's like, can I come in with you? Can I come in with you? No, please let me come in with you. And it's like, for such a short period of time, no parent in their right mind wants to get their kid out of the car seat for like literally 15 seconds. But he got her out yesterday. And now we know why. It's because she'll walk in and she'll be like, hey, guys. Like he said the entire Starbucks was like, hey. He was like, she had them all wrapped around her finger.
She walks in just greeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, bye, happy birthday.
That is so sweet.
So I was like, she's very cute. Now she wants, that's why she wants to go in all the time. Because it's like, probably one of the highlights of her day. Just getting to say hey to all those people.
Who are people? What is people?
What is people? Anyway, that's about it.
What is, well, not without saying obviously, where is she, Ziggy going into kindergarten next year? Are you going to do another year of pre-K or what's that going to be like?
She just turned 4. So okay. She has another year of
got it.
Pre-K.
Okay.
So we're in Brentwood, have been there since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this house and, you know, Kevin was on the east side and he's like, why are we going to look at this house in Brentwood, all our friends, you know? And I was like, just trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And the house has been amazing for us. It's just been this little creative haven. But when Ziggy came along, it just, the house, we've grown out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss our friends. Just all of our closest people are over on the east side and the community. And we live in a cul-de-sac with a bunch of type A people that are constantly doing stuff to their yard.
Oh, I would not do well there. We'd get kicked out.
Oh, man.
So you want to move back into town?
Yeah, we've looked for years. I mean, before we even had Ziggy, we were starting to look to get back. But then the market's crazy.
Like it's wild.
Mm-hmm. But saying that, I don't know where Ziggy's going to go to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. So going back to post C-section, how was that first year for you? How was your postpartum experience?
So I remember the first while, like maybe 3 or 4 months, I was in a good space, but it was, you know, I kind of think about, I've already struggled with depression most of my life, adult life, I would say more so. I did feel anxiety creeping in leading up to birth, thinking about the reality.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to Kevin the week before, I don't think I can do this. And he's like, oh, it's going to be easy, babe. And he was dead serious. It's going to be easy. So, I've thrown that in his face a few times since then. But when she first got here, I think Kevin had his postpartum before me. The first 8 months was really hard for him. And I think because of that, he was very involved, but also I knew I had to stay strong.
Right. I got
to
be okay because my partner's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my parents live here. They were so helpful. Kevin was so helpful. But I mean, Ziggy, from the moment she came out of the womb, was intense. You know, I mean, C-section, arms outstretched to me, like, you know, and you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The universe just shifted. And she cried a lot. She had acid reflux.
Mm.
And so she really couldn't be left down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we had to hold her
all the time.
All the time. And she just seemed uncomfortable, always like, eh. And I just remember being in the living room, and we've got all these windows out to the woods. And I'm sitting there, like, doing the thing where you're standing up and doing almost like a squats.
Crazy squats.
Squats, and that would really calm her. So I'm sitting there doing that with her crying, and I hear Kevin out in the woods, and you just hear,
just chopping wood.
Chopping wood.
He found his new outlet.
It was just his release. And good for him that he knew that that's what he needed to do. And then, so I feel like 8 months, 9 months, he was stable before then, but that's where it kind of, the lid opened up for me. Mm-hmm. And I got back into to therapy, but I found breathwork therapy to really help me kind of, I guess, as a release, you know, because also COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the trappings of both things, you know, you just, like, you're going through all these emotions and you're having to stay so calm and peaceful for your child.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, where do I howl?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I scream? Where mm-hmm. do I get this out? Because you're just feeling like you're constantly just being boxed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then you feel guilty for that feeling. You're like, I'm only supposed to feel these openings. And you do at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it takes a while to learn or to realize, like, that there's room for all of the feelings.
I know.
Breath work, like, a little bit about that. Like, do you do it on your own and you know how to do it? And did you have somebody guiding you? And do you go in to have that, do that still also?
So I found breath work actually before Ziggy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really intense experience. It was with my therapist at the time, and she was trained in it. And so it's almost like...
Holotropic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like the hero journeys that mm-hmm. people do mm-hmm. with mushrooms, but just sans drugs.
Yeah.
And so the first time that I did it, I was in such a... I think it was when I was trying to get pregnant, I was coming off of antidepressants mm-hmm. and I just was in such a dip and needed help. And so I did this breath work and had a major rebirth
mm-hmm.
vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like a lobster on the floor, completely cramped up like this.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. In my hand.
Have you done it before?
I do it a lot. Yes.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's you're happening, next. It's a holotropic breath work is where it's like your brain is, you're breathing is one way. And then, you know, so I don't know if everybody's the
that
same,
is
but
one
you're
way, yeah.
like,
you can kind of do the in your nose twice
mm-hmm.
and then,
yeah,
that's my running breathing.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, I want to hear your story, but I was just going to explain to them that you're just like, your brain's a little deprived of oxygen, but you go into a trance state.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
It's almost a hyperventilation, mm-hmm. right? Because it's switching the carbon dioxide, but it kind of takes away your ego
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. brings a consciousness that is there, and you're just like sitting in your essence.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely to think of it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't until a different kind of life coach kind of came into play later, where I was able to kind of blend those tools to be really constructive
mm-hmm.
to support me. But yeah, that first experience was insane. I was so cramped up, sweating, and then really cold and not really seeing any visions, but it was kind of like all of a sudden everything just went poof. And certain people in my life, I just started seeing, like, clarity came to certain situations,
mm-hmm.
but in a dreamlike state. So mm-hmm. it wasn't fully concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, and I was still cramped up, and it was kind of the peak release moment. I opened my eyes in the vision, and I was in my parents' arms looking out in the hospital, and I was a baby. And I felt every single piece of anxiety and grief and question of life float away.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going home that night, calling Kevin, he's like, are you on something?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, joy.
Yeah.
I have found the center of my joy.
Yeah.
You know, and I had been just clawing for it. It had been so long since I had felt it. So I knew that experience was helpful and important, and I kind of forgot about it while I was pregnant and first having Ziggy. But then I went back to it and have since made it a regular practice. Maybe for a while I was doing it every other week with my therapist on Zoom,
mm-hmm.
which was helpful. And you're laying down, you're in mm-hmm. the dark, I put, and then I have headphones on, and she filters a playlist, you know, that's like chanting. Sometimes she started putting some contemporary songs, and I was like, no. I can't, I can't hear real lyrics.
Right. Too distracting.
It's too, too close to home.
Yeah.
Did you do that because it was 2020, like, cause it was COVID and you were doing it remotely, or do you still do it that way?
I actually love it.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like I...
Remotely, you mean?
Remotely, yeah. Cause I'm in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I feel... I've always been inhibited around, I mean, even like perform, this is off subject, but on subject. Mm-hmm. My parents were always like, it's okay if you show off.
Right.
If you're like, cause I grew up dancing, they're always like, you can let go. It's okay. You're good at it. Like, just let go. And I didn't want to show off or whatever. It's just inhibitions. It's the pressure that I put
Are you
on
a
myself.
Perfectionist, would you say?
Yeah. I don't want to be, but yeah.
Yeah.
To an extent.
I think, I am too, but it took me a long time to, I think, admit that I was.
Mm-hmm. I geek out on details. I love mm-hmm. it. I love analyzing things and understanding why they are that. And it's just, I like the beauty in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's also with that, I don't know why that makes me think of this, but how me and my husband differ. He is an optimist and he's excitable. And when
just,
he
like,
sees something,
throw it against the wall, and, see what
and
happens.
Impulsive. And it's like, yeah. He doesn't think about the things that could go wrong. And I'm completely opposite. But I don't, like, he sees it as pessimistic sometimes, and it can be seen as that, and I know I can be, but I don't, like, I, again, find the beauty in the things that are wrong or sad or all that.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty and the anxiety of it. But, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, I was going to
cut.
Yeah, well, I was also going to ask what becoming a mom and that shape-shifting your creative life and... Mm. When you felt furthest from that and how you started filtering that back in and just that process for you.
Oh gosh. I mean, we could talk for hours about all of this stuff.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to skim the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
can skip that if it's too.
Yeah. I mean, oh no, we don't have to skip.
Nothing's
too.
You hate her questions. Fine.
No. No way. I love all of this. I feel like everything that I was just saying that I am is almost impossible in motherhood to operate from that space.
Right.
So when I had her, I feel like it was like throwing my whole identity on the floor, breaking into a million pieces, and then picking this piece up and going, I think I recognize this. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it fits. And trying to shape it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a totally different thing. The systems of, you know, preparing, because everything's improv.
Right.
And improv scares the shit out of me, like on every level. Because what if something goes wrong? The self-preservation in me is just holding on tight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't hold on tight to anything. And I never really could, but I didn't have to answer to that before a kid. I could isolate and prepare and go over things and do, you know, get everything just how I wanted it.
Yeah.
I had the time to do it. And now you just don't have the time to do that.
Yeah. And it's not, you're like, oh yeah, I can do this my own time. I can spend it how I want. I'm not affecting anybody else by preparing this way.
Right.
And then literally every single moment of your life is affecting someone else.
A 100%. Yes.
Like, just want to do whatever I want to do.
I know.
The idea that something suffers, like if you choose one thing and then like Eric or Parker or me or whatever, it's always, or work, something is gonna, that's a negative way to look at it, but it does feel like that. Like sometimes if I'm stressed and that, like I can explain my angst through that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this week, just that idea comes up a lot, that wherever our attention goes, it means it's not somewhere else, that maybe we feel like is also important or should be there, or, you know, the guilt. We talk a lot about the guilt.
Yeah.
And I know this, but for some reason thinking of it this way made me feel a little better about it this week, at least. I don't know how long it'll last, but I think every generation of women especially is trying to change the narrative. Some, like, the narrative's different for every generation, and I feel like ours is, motherhood is a really big one about how do we do it all, how do we find the balance, how do we not give up ourselves to raise our kids, how do we be happy moms so that we can have happy kids, all the things. And I don't know, I was just thinking like, oh, I'm carrying all of this guilt for not knowing which decisions are the right decisions and which things are worth the sacrifice. I'm feeling all this guilt so that my girls don't have to feel all this guilt when they're making these decisions. And not that they won't still feel guilty, but they're not seeing our guilt. They're just seeing all the things we're going out and doing. And I was just like, I don't know, it made it feel a little more worth it. Like, just how hard this is, trying to find some sort of balance and trying to be happy and be present with your kids. And
where does your guilt reside?
I will feel a lot of guilt that, like, the things I get really excited and motivated about are just for me.
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. But I also am like, I think getting married really young and getting pregnant young, I just didn't, and not that I would have taken advantage of it when I had the time. I just think I didn't really know myself until my 30s. I didn't really know what I wanted until my 30s. And then there's all this, just the pressure of time to be like, well, I have to go after it. If I know what I want, I'm already halfway through my life. Like, I gotta, I know I don't need to hustle as much as I probably think I do, but there is a portion of that that is a reality that, you know, I also, I don't know. And there's guilt in that and going, oh, I should just stop hustling and just be, because these are the magic years and they're going to pass and whatever, the whole, all of it.
All of that is wrapped up in the judge. And I talk about this all the time because it was, it's just, I feel like the front seat or the head of the table of my inner world so often is just the judge. And I've written a letter. And so I have a woman, her name's Glenda, and I call her the good witch. Oh, I love her to death. We did some work together, and it was very similar to internal family systems, just all of our parts. And she had me write letters from the voice of the judge was the first one that I did. And writing it to myself, and the first line was, you're out of time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just, it's like just the dick inside of you. Oh, God. yes.
You can keep that. She's had her espresso.
But the dick that is inside all of us, the voice, the dick voice. I'm just gonna keep pounding that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double down.
So I wrote this letter to myself from that voice and then read it to my inner child, because that's really who it was to. So just imagining myself at 4 years old, you know, and having Ziggy, being able to kind of visualize that and say these things was
so cruel
and so just, I can't believe that I say these things to myself. And then she had me turn the letter around to advocate. And so the advocate voice, and I just pretty much flipped every sentence to the positive. And I have it in my phone. I mean, it was like, she's like, you just wrote yourself a resolution. to your life. Keep it and reference it, because it really, it was like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Just the switching that the judge, you know, putting the advocate at the head of the table, putting little Aaron at the head of the table and just saying, you know, there's belief. Mm-hmm. I've lost belief. There's belief. You can have that, you know. I'm saying this so on the surface. I wish that we could talk about this for
hours, incredibly into it.
Mm-hmm. That's one, that is the voice that I think after having a child, like, because you're putting so much effort and all your creative energy, any energy to that person. So in the creative field, you know, just finding my belief again to be able to,
yeah.
Like, cause every voice says you can't do it. Why are you doing this? You're getting old.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what, who cares?
Yeah.
All these things.
Well, and that's what I mean about, like, I feel like we are all trying to battle that guilt and change those voices and decide which ones we're giving power so that our kids maybe don't have those same battles, because we've already fought them for them. And we're like, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. Like, my girls are gonna know from day one, like, just because you're giving life to somebody else does not mean your life stops. Like,
right.
It's not a question. I feel like there were just so many conversations that did not exist that we are all having conversations about.
I know. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. So that we can just feel a little more.
Our parents didn't get that. They didn't. They mm-hmm. didn't they get were, to talk to their friends
right.
about it.
They were fighting other battles for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe your girls or our kids in general have similar battles, but they have the tools, or they
right.
have some point of reference for where to start, or
something. Something more.
That's my hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it really did make me feel like all the overwhelming things, all the things that it feels like we're pushing against or trying to figure out or trying to find answers for, it just made it all seem a little more normal.
Mm-hmm.
And a little more like, oh, this is all for something so much bigger, and it's all for my kids. Yeah. So instead of thinking I'm doing all this for myself, I'm doing all this for myself, I really also am trying to become a whole human.
Right.
Whole mom, whole human for my kids. So I don't know, just that idea of like, it's all working mm-hmm. together, and we don't have to freak out so much that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, there is, like, there's space for all of it.
There's an overload of information for all of us. Like, I, the positive is that we get so many scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, our parents had Dr. Spock, and that was it.
Yeah, if that.
If that. And so, with that just comes so much noise,
mm-hmm.
yep. like everything else in our life, you know? So, right. It's like
trying to navigate, like, trying which to thing is meant that. For me.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the, and what? All the self-help. Yeah. Like, I mean, I talk about the breath work, the therapy, all of the things, and I've done so much, but at a certain point it's like, let's just do this,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of let that grow and just act, just do. I'm kind of in that mode right now. It's like,
you're like, I've retained a bunch of different things.
I could over-therapize, you know. Right. Yeah, I could do that for days and days, but just act. And so it's like, this is the scary part, because it's getting the,
because you know, might mess up
the toes out of mm-hmm. the dirt. And it, you know, it's, I've been standing on top of the mountain just like, I got to take this step, but ooh, do I go this way? Oh, do I go this way? And it's just like, oh, just take the fucking step. Yeah. So I'm kind of doing that little by little.
Mm-hmm.
Writing with new people, saying that I'm mm-hmm. doing a new project, which feels so scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But exciting too. And it's like, oh, there you are.
Yeah. You got to start talking about it.
Yeah. It's the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trusting yourself. My therapist says your body knows how to do this work. And I think that a lot in like all different ways. Cause I mean, it means just really trust yourself. Like, you know, the answers a lot of times, and maybe it's because you learned them from somebody else. Maybe it's because you just like inherently know them, but that's really hard for me, is trusting myself. But
I used to, like, I feel like
I didn't know.
No,
I don't know.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah. What's that like?
No, yeah. I feel like it was very helpful for me. I feel like in my 20s, there's naivety. I mean, just the energy of youth, you know. Mm-hmm. But I would have very clear visions of, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I had belief, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I would do it. Mm-hmm. And I lost it along the way. Mm. So I feel like I'm rebuilding it and just discovering. And, you know, just one of the best things is staying curious.
Yeah.
That's every time I get in that like grind and that chokehold, I have to just go curiosity. And I swear it just like, it relieves a little bit of, it takes the power out of the choke.
Mm. Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Yesterday I was thinking, I think, I don't know about trusting myself, maybe like very early on before any of like the soul splintering or whatever happens to yourselves. But, but I was fearless. Like even if maybe I was scared, but I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to do this as I'm doing this. This is what's happening. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't care. Maybe that's the caring, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that people makes sense. Say you don't care when you get into your 40s, but that's not true for me. Mm. But maybe just,
How far in do you have to be? Cause that's what I've been looking forward to. I feel like I've been sold that 40 this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, congrats.
Thank you.
How far in? Yeah, I don't know.
Right. I'm like, is it going to, I would like it to be like 41.
I mean, maybe you don't. Yeah. It's what people say about does each year get easier with kids. And everyone's always like, it's just different.
It's a different kind of hard. Also, I think all the people that were telling us that weren't having kids as late.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're like into, we're finally getting to the age we're supposed to figure ourselves out, but then we're thrown into motherhood and being like, I don't know. I know nothing. Absolutely nothing.
We do. Yes, we do.
Your body knows how to do this work.
Yeah.
You guys hungry?
I am.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like some bagels, some schmears, maybe some pasta.
Yeah.
I bet they've got other stuff now that we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. Fine
and
goods.
I bet it's all really, really good.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Mr. Aaron's Goods.
Yes. Mm. Locally owned, family, lovely, all very involved, and everything is fresh and good and wonderful and incredibly quick to prepare meals that mm-hmm. you can pick up in East Nashville. At TKO, is it Monday through Friday now? I'm not going to get their hours right, but you should look them up on Mr. Aaron's Goods. It's MRAARONSGOODS.com. And you can use code MOMCULT for 20% off your order at MrAaron'sGoods.com. And if you live in East Nashville, they'll deliver.
For free on Saturdays, yeah.
Yep. Check them out. What do you wish someone would have told you before you had kids? Do you have like a thing?
It's funny because I feel like anyone could have said anything and I wouldn't
have retained it.
I wouldn't know it.
In a meaningful way. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think about what I want to tell people that are having kids and it's so hard because you don't want to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like any of the, what do you say?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Yeah. I get the, like, the things that people, like, the just focusing on the beauty. I get that the former generation, for the most part, I feel like focusing on that. Because that is, to me, it ends up being what I say.
Yeah.
Because there is so much beauty in it. And why would you not?
Right.
But I think it's good to be, you know, you're good at that. I think seeking, I don't have any of these point of references, but somebody was talking yesterday on a radio show that I listened to about philosophy. I don't like really this conversation or this type of conversation, but how our generation is, you know, everybody's depressed and blah, 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 suicide rates, whatever, all these things about everything being a bummer. And one of the things that this study posited was that we're disconnecting from the meta or like, you know, the spiritual sides of ourselves, even through religion, because it's like God being this untouchable being in the sky and everything being really kind of boxed, and how we used to, you know, listen to our study our dreams and the earth and connecting to those things, and also God has got all of those things. And I feel like what you've been describing to me, there's a lot of that in there, which is, there's a lot of wisdom in that, connecting to that, seek that.
It's so true.
You know, the King of God, as Parker said.
So we've got the King of God, the movie of God.
Seek the cane.
The rainbow butterflies.
The cane of God.
I mean, breathwork therapy, like the, that's one of the closest I've felt to God in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Is because you, it sound, I think I've got so many things that I could talk about with religion. One of the stick points for me that it's been so hard, the saying, go in the way of the world. Did you ever hear that growing up?
Oh, like secular stuff? Is that what like, is that the point?
Yeah, don't go in the way of the world.
Yeah.
Right. So when I start saying things like, I feel like we are God, that connection, that current, that
energy.
You know, that energy that it, like, I feel like it cheapens the experience of God by because I have guilt saying it because it sounds quote unquote new agey, which was bad when I was young. And it wasn't pounded down on my head. You know, I have very loving parents. My dad is still very strong in his faith and it's the most important thing to him. And my mom has, she missed her women's lib moment when it was happening because she was more conservative and traditional and submissive Christian wife. And now she's like, wow. I'm surprised she didn't have the hairy pits to match, but she's loving the liberation and wanting to fight for that. And so that causes a little bit of friction there, but
yeah, so that was going to be my next question.
But yeah, I mean, and where was that? How did this start?
We were talking about growing up religious.
Oh, so growing up in a loving, it wasn't like we had to go to Sunday school every Sunday and everything, and not Bible beating or whatever, but just the very subtle messaging is nuts.
Yeah.
And what it's done to my brain and what I've had to deconstruct just for me. I don't want to take any of my dad's practice to reach God away from him.
Right.
But I also don't want him to fear my afterlife where like I want him to know that we'll be together. But it's hard. I don't know. When you believe his set, it's hard, you know, for that to ever line up.
Yeah.
But I don't think his set is wrong, but he may think mine is. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I found.
And I'm scared because I want him to hear this podcast, so he'll probably hear this.
Hey, Dad. Right.
No, not scared, but
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I won't say it as eloquently as this gentleman put it, but I watched a TikTok of a guy giving a really amazing analogy of a house and its structure and its foundation and him growing up inside this house and feeling like there's all these cracks and no one in the house is seeming to acknowledge that they're there or that they matter. And anyway, he put really well a lot of the things that I have been, just trying to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all want the same thing.
Yeah.
Every human does, right? To an extent.
Generally speaking.
I know.
No, yes, we all do.
Yeah. Dr. Becky, you know, I love how she, how just the product, Good Inside.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, we weren't taught that.
No, that's already, it's already greatly changing the narrative that we grew up with.
I know. And even having, I mean, you've got this little baby at home and you're like, Good Inside. I mean, even when Ziggy's just throwing massive fits, you're just like, she's so good inside. I mean, and even though I grew up in a lovely home, I wasn't taught that because of just the church that we went, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what you're, it's just constant shame.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it plays a lot into, I think, why we struggle with belief in ourselves as adults is because yes. it was always about God.
You
like,
had
that's
to.
Where all, that's where I get everything that, like, I'm nothing without that. And so I think the older I'm getting and the more I am kind of deconstructing and trying to figure those things out, is you're going, I do feel like I'm something without that, but I don't know what. I don't even 100%. Know if I'm allowed to think that. Like
that is the number one thing. It's like a I feel like it causes disassociation and disembodiment.
Right.
Embodiment is where I feel like in my 40s, having a child, going through these really hard questions and therapy and everything, I feel like I'm coming to terms with and finding embodiment.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah, totally.
That is exciting and a good place to be as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to be in your body has been so hard for me. And I didn't even realize it until later in life.
Yeah.
And I think religion played a big part of that because you have shame reaching within and not up.
Reaching out, yeah.
When you can do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, we are in communion with God.
Yeah.
God is in this room right now. Which is exciting. I mean, it's so beautiful.
Yes, totally. I was going to say, I don't know exactly how you worded it, but you couldn't do those things without God or like, what did you
like,
say? Well, the one sentence it was.
That it's almost like you're growing up being like, well, just pray about it. Mm. Just pray about it. Pray about it. Like all your questions, everything is like, is you're waiting on some sort of push or response from this other source. And the older I got, I'm like, the more I realized, like, I have to be that source for myself.
Yeah. And do you feel a tinge of guilt?
Right. Am I allowed to do that? That seems selfish. That seems so, you know, whatever. Just trying to find my own way to where it can all work together and make sense because mm-hmm. I am a stickler for like, that's why choices are hard for me. Cause I want to pick the right choice. I want to pick the best choice. And the more choices there are, the more paralyzed I get. So
yeah. Analysis paralysis.
Yeah. Just trying to go, am I allowed to,
mm-hmm.
I think just practically the tools I learned growing up weren't working for what I needed to do to push myself forward in my own realistic life. And
I didn't grow up. Exactly. I mean, I didn't grow up, you know, I don't think as much structure in my religious life as it sounds like, or as I know that y'all did. But that was around. But my point is the way that my mom thought, helped me keep an open mind to that, which it sounds like y'all do. I think this might come out. The point that I'm trying to make is I've always kept a thread of that God is everywhere and it's just this thing. Us, you, whatever it is. So I do need that. And that's always present.
Mm-hmm.
And that thread is really helpful. And I hope, or I don't know, I don't need to think about what everybody else is doing. I'm just saying I'm trying to think of how to say that to Parker because I want him to have that. It is really important to me.
Yes, I know. I want Ziggy the same. I want her to have some sort of structure.
Yeah.
With the way that she is able, like, just something to hold on to versus it's a mystery.
Right.
Totally. And like, whatever.
Nobody knows.
Because somebody's going to be out there
because
saying.
Because that is true. It is mystery and curiosity and, like, that you want to foster that, but.
You want to give him something.
You want to give him something.
Otherwise, he's going to hear some really definitive things. And why not? Why wouldn't I believe or just go with the definitive thing versus the. Well, this is what I think, and like, I don't, you know, anyway.
I mean, no matter what we do, though,
I don't know that I'm equipped to tackle this, to be honest, in like a public forum.
None of us, because we're all trying to build a whole new house, but I just don't know what tools to use and what things are going to be useful.
What I'm trying to say is I feel really confident in my house. I just don't know how to describe it exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
But this has always been how it has felt to me. I've never had to
put words to it to teach someone.
Well, I tell them, but it doesn't really matter so much to me if anybody, I don't give a shit if anybody thinks the same thing. I don't care. Right. That's kind of the point is that I don't, you don't need to think the same. That's fine. Yeah. Whatever you think, literally, think is fine.
What it sounds like though, the way you're loving him and loving on him and It's like, that's,
yeah,
that will show him,
yeah, yeah,
God. I mean, really.
Well,
and even if he decides to venture into hardcore Christianity or
right.
hardcore whatever, like that foundation that you're giving him right now is really sweet.
Yeah.
And I think,
yeah. Well, sometimes I yeah. just go, the more, especially at Ava's age now, the more that I can just put her in different scenarios and she can see how a bunch of different people live and what a bunch of different people think. Mm-hmm. And that can at least, I grew up with no options. There was no mm-hmm. world outside of this is the way that it is. Yeah. And everyone around me
yeah.
was like, yep.
Very similar.
So yeah. until you're out of that,
yeah.
do you even know that other people think differently, but still seem to have
I know.
The same moral compass that you do, just without all the rules.
I always felt like, what? There's got to be more. I mean, I grew up in a suburb outside of Dallas, in Texas, and I didn't meet a Jewish person until after college, maybe. Mm. I mean, I'm sure I did meet, but I wasn't close to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just.
Mm. So I'm saying, like, as far as not feeling all that pressure on yourself, mm. like just you being friends yeah. with all different kinds of people, mm. he's going to be exposed to all different kinds of people.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And I feel help
fine
form,
about it.
And then help form his own, like, what he feels drawn to or what, I don't know.
Yeah. And like one or two, like, you know, well, we all know Sarah Buxton, and mm. I met her when I was like 13. She was good friends with my sister, long story short. And she told me about, what's the Paolo Coelho, I can't know how to pronounce his name, but he wrote some book. I forget. I want to say it's The Pagemaster, but it's not that. That's just what we watched. That's the Macaulay Culkin movie. The point is, he just that one experience at like my sister's wedding with Sarah Buxton when I was like 13 had like a profound effect on pushing me forward in like a earth connection, mystical
yeah.
you know, spirituality. Mm-hmm. So even, and, you know, he's going to meet a ton of different people. Anyway, what I'm saying is he's fine and our kids are all going to be fine.
Do you remember so you're saying Sarah was one of, that conversation was one of the first conversations you had where it was like, maybe what I
No, no, my mom really did do a good, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I don't
yeah.
mean to. She did do a really good job of like exposing me to all different ideas. And she literally was like, Buddha, all of these things are the same thing. Everybody's doing the same thing. Sorry, Mom. I mean, that is
yeah.
that is what I gleaned from what you said. I'm not
yeah.
sure if that was my version of he's the king of God, and I didn't really hear what you were saying, but that's how I
right.
processed it. Buddha, whatever. All those things are the same. Anyway, this has gone on. I didn't mean, your whole thing was about religion.
I love
realizing.
It.
Realizing. Anyway, but so I did have that. But Sarah, just seeing somebody cool and older, I guess, and I'm just saying in terms
like
of
be
being,
confident in their
yeah.
their view.
It was just some what? Other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I knew about like Buddhism and Judaism and all of these things, but I didn't really know about like this more mm-hmm. mystical thing. And that had, you know, sorry, huge impact. Just that one conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pop Culture Corner, anyone? Who wants to talk about some TV shows?
Oh, you mentioned...
We are funny, guys. We do have another side to us.
That's true.
We're a hoot.
Yeah. Well, that's it's funny because both of the things that I wrote down from the list of things that so many of which were so funny, your
yeah.
suggestions for Pop Culture Corner was like the first season of True Detective and White Lotus, just the darkest things from what you
said. Oh my God, I know, right?
Time. And speaking of religion, like how that whole Matthew McConaughey in the first season of True Detective talks about time and all of those things is like, I mean, that whole first season is just...
It was insane.
Incredible.
I know.
You watched that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been yeah. a long time. But
you don't remember it. And I just want to see, does anybody else think... what's the other one? Oh, the Truman Capote, the new one, The Swans. Have you watched any of that?
Mm-mm. I haven't started it yet, but I want to.
The guy who's playing Truman Capote is also the guy who is the older gay man who has the yacht in White Lotus. And, you know, his character in that mm-hmm. turns out to be oof. So incredibly dark. Mm-hmm. And when I that's one of the things that Joy's sister talks about, media trauma. And I truly am media traumatized by that, some of those scenes and that
yeah.
concept. And, oh, it's just so dark. And in The Swans 2, that actor. I mean, just, I'm worried about him.
The roles he's getting?
Yeah.
What they're doing to his mental health.
Yeah. Just, oh, are you okay? Just,
yeah.
If he's doing great at his job. It's just,
if he's a method actor, then yeah, it's like, how does he switch in and out?
Mm, very dark. Just so, and both of them actually, those two, like, those are two scenes that, like, recently, this is just, it's just a, such a rosy podcast.
Veep, Arrested Development.
Just saying Veep. The names.
Yeah. That's just saying names of fun shows. Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Miss Maisel.
America's Funny Song Videos.
Yeah, I love Miss Maisel.
But Veep, I've never laughed harder in my life. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I wouldn't now because it's just a little too parallel to the
reality.
Mm-hmm. And but oh God, did you not just did you see it all?
Yeah. Loved it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Tony Hale in there.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got to audition for a movie that Tony Hale was going to be in. Oh, yeah. I wanted it. It's like the first audition I had that I wanted so bad. Have either of you watched the Mysterious Benedict Society?
Mm-mm.
It's a really, your kids are probably still too little for it, but when they're old enough, it's Tony Hale. But he's got like a good, he's got a twin. So he plays a good twin and an evil twin.
Oh.
It's
a cartoon?
No, but it's fantastic.
Where is
show.
It? The kids like it or the moms?
So both. Like a tween show?
Both.
Tween.
I think Ava was probably, I don't know, probably like, I think like a 6 or 7 year old could be into it. As far as like, it's a kid, like there's kids. It's about this group of kids that are kind of like solving this mystery. It's great.
Cool.
We'll have to check it out. Did y'all see Severance?
No, you
not
mentioned that
it.
And I almost
are
went
are you kidding?
To, I know.
Jeremy
I started
Kent.
It.
Yeah.
That was my number one.
He, Eric it, says I have to watch it and I would love it so much. I started it. I don't even know why. It's just like,
I feel like, yeah.
I watch just a lot of,
going.
Like I'm honestly right now just rewatching The Nanny.
Mm.
I just I didn't turn see that. My brain off.
Yeah.
The Nanny?
I never saw The Nanny.
The original one? Like from not the 90s?
No, never saw it.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd like it, but just because it's like, could she can, but
who
I think she's
her?
Awesome.
Was it Fran
Drescher.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My point was not to talk about The Nanny again. Because I have, I think, the last 3 episodes.
I only remember one.
Well, that's where you are.
But that I just will, like, want to turn my brain off usually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Jeremy and I can, well, I think shows like Severance, it just depends like where we are
totally.
In our life. And it's like, do I really want to spend my downtime being anxious or worried or.
Exactly. I know. We haven't really been watching anything. We've been kind of in our own little book worlds or what, not me. He's been reading Elon Musk's.
Biography.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
Wolf. Yeah. I know. Kev is so open to, right now he's just so interested in either alien, AI.
Mm-mm. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk. He wants to talk all about it. And I'm just like, I don't love the changes. I didn't love the changes with social media. They're like, social media is like, notes in middle school.
Right.
I would never return the notes. My mom was like, you're going to lose your friends. You got to return the notes. And I was
you
like,
you got to write back.
Again, back to pressure. I put so much, like even text messages, it's like, I want to give all my attention to it. So I'm going to wait until I can fully be there and respond. Which is never. And I feel that way with social media. So I've kind of ducked out.
Eric likes all that stuff too. And he knows that it stresses me out. So he doesn't talk to me about it for the most part. But if I bring up anything about it, or if somebody around us brings it up, then I realize really how much information he has and how much he knows. And I'm like, holy shit, you have this whole other like world of knowledge. Yeah. And he's like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, I start to sweat. I literally start to sweat.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know.
I want to talk to you for so much longer.
I know.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
Just
thank
like you said,
guys.
I know you're torn in a bunch of different directions and it means a lot for us that you took the time to be here and be open and share.
I'm so honored. I love you guys.
I hope that we didn't bum you on. I think it was really, you know.
I don't get bummed out about
cool.
the heavy stuff.
Good.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm trying to get comfortable
And we
with
hope
it.
You do too,
not
listeners.
Say I love it, but... But I did enjoy this. I mean, it feels, yeah, it's good.
You can follow Erin McCarley at Erin McCarley on Instagram, although she's not going to give you much, guys. She's going to give you the bare minimum.
I do kind of want to try to peek back in, just
see what's there.
Just, I don't know. Yeah, because it is a creative outlet, so I need to treat it as that.
You can follow us at Mom Cult Podcast on Instagram and themomcult.com. And if you review things, give us 5 stars and positive ratings if you'd like to. Thanks.
Yeah. Share it with some friends. Share it with some other moms.
All right. Love you, ladies.
Love you. Thank you.
Love y'all.
Bye.